the past few weeks, even on Sundays, we've been showing the differences in Judaism and in Christianity. And Sunday morning, I was talking about the fact that we say Christianity so loosely because I myself, day in and day out, when I think of another church, or if I drive by another church, that's exactly what I think of it is, because all my life that's what I've thought of it. Just because it says church doesn't make it a church, right? If I wrote police across my shirt, it doesn't make me a policeman, does it? Right? You know, if I wrote something across my shirt, it doesn't put me there. Well, the sad thing for today, that's exactly where this world is at. They believe if they call it something and put that sign up, that must be what it is. Well, it's the same way with Christianity today, too. There are a lot of people that profess to be Christians. Okay? But that doesn't make them a Christian in any way. The one thing that stands alone to make somebody a Christian today is if they are part of the body of Christ. And the only way that they can be a part of the body of Christ is if they follow those things that were given to Paul, because he was the pattern first for all to have life everlasting. Now, I didn't say that. 1 Timothy 1:16 says that. So if you're going to argue with that what I say is wrong, then what you're doing then is you're making that the Word of God has a lie in it, so therefore we might as well close the book. So just because somebody says something doesn't make that be what it is. Okay? I think Savannah talked to me over this past week. I just thought about this. She was in. She had gone out of town, and she was in the room. I think they had gone to eat or something, and she saw this Book of Mormon. Well, if any everyday person picks it up and just reads it and takes it for granted that it's a Book of Mormon, they're going to think it's the Bible. And it can be so deceiving if you read just a little bit of it, because you saw the word Jesus in it, right?
The first page, yeah. To me, it sounded like they believe in Jesus.
So we had some texting communication. We still haven't been able to talk so much, but it's the issue that just because somebody says that's what they are doesn't make them that. Well, the best way that you can defend that is if we know what we are. You know, a banker tells what counterfeit is because they touch the real so much. And the hardest thing is this has been touched so much, and just as a tub of goo, like it's just all one gospel, that's what people think. Well, that's what you believe, and that's what I believe, and I believe this way. And it's like, well, at least we're Christians. You ever heard that comment? Let me tell you something. That doesn't make it so. Doesn't make it so. So it's important for us, for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our friends, for the people we're around, to make sure that we do know that there is an absolute difference in Judaism and in Christianity. And no matter what they call themselves, doesn't make them that. What makes them that is whether they're saved or not. Right? I mean, it's that plain and simple. And so we need to understand that it's important that we continue to go over these things in Judaism. Did I get that right this time?
No.
I never do. I'm leaving it.
Because you pronounce it incorrectly, it's Judaism.
I don't care. Next time you put up a big J on the ship. Then it'd be JC, Jesus Christ. Everybody all together again. See how you deceived Joe? Anyway, it's just important that we know and we understand. And you know, the reason I say Judaism, I always heard it said that way, and so that don't make it right either, but that's how I wrote it. But anyway, in saying that, we do need to know the difference. We do need to defend the gospel. And I think it's important that we look back on these things to defend the gospel. Because what is today, what I found out, what got me into this more than anything else over the last couple of months, is everything today seems to be topical. If you watch ESPN, if you watch baseball, you always compare something to compare something else. I feel like our society is so comparable. Even in TV shows today, it's the reality TV, you can almost compare them. People will compare them. Well, I like this because of this. I like this because of this. You take me with a steak, I'm going to tell you why I like New York strip over a ribeye. I mean, we compare things, and so that's the way to compare today what is right and what is wrong, and it's all in one book, right? So we need to know. Sunday morning we talked about giving and grace. And tonight we're going to start, we'll go to those things that we love to celebrate a lot of times, or we make a lot of times, that we probably shouldn't. It doesn't mean it's wrong to enjoy holidays. Doesn't make it, but we need to understand that the background of it is mostly not Christian. You know, it's mostly very pagan. And I get tickled at all the things that they've made up about the candy cane and the Christmas tree and all these different things that, if you follow it back, it goes back to paganism most of the time, right? But those that claim to be Christians, and those that even are Christians, are so caught up into it that they turn Jesus into every bit of it. Wouldn't it be better just to know the truth? I think it would be. So let's go to Leviticus 23. Just go to Leviticus 23. My pages kind of stick together in that book. I hate Leviticus. You ever want to bore somebody else now? Just open the book and read Leviticus. That's where I used to threaten youth all the time. Okay, we're going to read the book of Leviticus tonight. And just read it as monotone as you can.
I was going to say, do you think it's boring?
Well, I don't mean boring, but I mean, if you ever read it monotone?
Oh, not the monotone.
And you just this and do this. And then I just, you know, as a young person, youth, they can't stand it. They can't stand it. You know what? For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole book of Leviticus. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Leviticus 23. But if you read it and you look at certain excerpts of it, for the sake of time, you'll notice that all holy days were for who? They're for Israel. All the holy days were not for Gentile. They were set and made for Jews, is what they were, how they were set upon. But today, the Christian church claims that they're Israel, and they make much of what? Of holy days. And if you just read Leviticus 23, you'll see the feasts, you'll see the days. They'll name on the 15th day you do this, on this day you do this. On this. The whole chapter deals with feasts and days for Israel. And a lot of times we'll read this, and if we think back, we think like the whole world's doing it. Well, at this time, the whole world was doing this. You know, as a kid, that's what you would think of a lot of times, that, well, this is why we do this now, because back in these days, all the people did this. And the only people that were doing it was a group of people that was Israel. And I don't know if you ever thought that way before, but as I say that, I think of that, and I thought, you know, we always thought, well, everybody did it in times past, all the Christians. This was set for Jewish feast days to have remembrance and to set in stone certain things that God said to do, and they did. And so they made much about those days. They made a whole lot about those days. And today, you know what those that claim to be Christians do? They make much about those days. Hey, let's face it, before Halloween came out this year, what came out? Christmas. They're already putting stuff up. We make much. Now, a lot of people do it for profit, you know. But the reason they make profit at it is because those that buy make much about it. It overtakes you is what it will do. To keep going there, go to Exodus 12:11. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, I just kind of look at a few different scriptures. Look at one of the commands, or look at one of the statutes. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It wasn't just make a lot of what they did about the Passover. It was what they were wearing and everything. We don't do that today, do we? But we claim that we make much about it. If you look at verse 15, it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. I mean, we make the holy days as holidays, and we make light of it. Man, these were big deals. These were things that were not like a festivity of fun. These were rules to follow and things to be guided because there was a reason. Something had happened to bring this about. And we don't hear people talking about that. Instead, it's a party and it's a festivity and it's all these things. Go to chapter 16 and look at verse 16. I'm just showing you just a couple of things. In Exodus 16, look at verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. I mean, there is something all the time, if you just read through these things, that they had to do. Go to chapter 20 and look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We always heard this all our life, that so much so, we even today, you'll hear people talk about it being the Sabbath. You know, let's face it, Seventh-day Adventists, they follow the Sabbath, or they say they do anyway. And it's made so much of holy days. Well, go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and look at starting verse 9. In verse 9, in Galatians chapter 4, make sure everybody's there. Chapter 4, verse 9 of Galatians. But now, that means like, you know, he said something that it used to be. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So what do you think here? Paul's kind of going totally against what Israel was supposed to do all the way through the Old Testament. Well, which one do we follow? You can't follow both, right? It's one or the other. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go back in time to follow those statutes when these were made much sooner. See, Paul is hitting the Galatian people because they were free. They were set free from all those things that Israel had to follow. In fact, Israel was set free from it too, those that were saved under Paul. Right? They were all free. Right? And so Paul's, these people walk back in, and again, they're going right back to the weak and the beggarly ways. They're going right back to the elements of the world. They're going right back to the way things used to be that weren't necessary to be. Right? Go to Ephesians, Colossians 2. Colossians 2. In Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 16, starting verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Look, it's got to be one way or the other. Which one's it going to be? You can't tell me it's the same. It doesn't work out that way. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Well, he even separates the body then, doesn't he? And he also talks about those things being a shadow of things to come. Well, if they're a shadow of things to come, that means they must not be right now. He said, but now, okay, in Galatians, so it must have been things that were in the past. And so you have the but now, you have the Old Testament, you have Israel that continued to follow all the statutes and all the Sabbaths and all the feasts and all, even Acts 2 had what? The Passover, right? Well, it stopped. And these people from Galatia were free. Paul says, why are you going back to this stuff? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because those into Judaism were coming in and they were saying, that's fine, you're saved, but you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. Because the issue was people would come in that were reputable, that could deceive people because they were still following and under the laws, and they were leading people astray after they had been saved and freed by Paul. And so then, that's what you have in Galatians. And now Paul says, look, those things were nailed to the cross. He says, don't think about those things of what you eat or what you drink or all those things, because the body is Christ. Okay, so he also separates the body from how it used to be. And he says, the things that they worried about are a shadow of things to come. Because why? The body's going to be taken out of here. Right? And what's going to take place? The kingdom is going to be set up. And again, they're going to start following those same statutes and those same things that go on. In look at verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Let me tell you what a lot of holidays are. We've made them a bunch of ordinances. We do it on this day. We do this on this day. Or traditions, okay? We have, a lot of churches have what? Before Christmas Eve, they'll have a communion, right? Like it or not, that's an ordinance. That was something that they partook of because it was said to do it, right? It's not certain days or certain things like that that need to be done as ordinances. Because he says here, wherefore, Paul asks the question, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, were we crucified with Christ? Right? If ye be dead with Christ, why were we dead from Christ? From the rudiments of the world. Right? And it says, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance? We're not subjected. We don't have to feel bad if we don't do something. Okay? And don't let... How many times have people... Think about this. I remember growing up, man, if somebody shared Christ with somebody, it was like you could see this feeling overcome them, you know, because it was an emotional thing to them. And then all of a sudden you see them put like 50 more pounds back on. Now that you've done this, you need to do this. He picks up the rudiments and the ordinances of the world again. And then I can remember growing up, preachers saying, well, you were saved, but why weren't you ever baptized? Why didn't you ever do this? And then they would make rules of how you better take communion. Those are ordinances that were beautiful things if you study them, of what Israel had to do and what they did and how God dealt with them. But we're free from all that. He nailed it to the cross, blotting out the handwriting of what? Ordinances to the cross. I'll tell you what, just look in the same chapter and look at verse 13. Go to verse 12. He says the same thing that we just read, except another way. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also, by the way, there's no water there, is there? There's a lot of dirt. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. What was the operation of God? That He put His Son on the cross to die for your sins, to bleed, to die, to be buried, dead and buried, and resurrected. So we were buried with Him, all the rudiments of the world, all the things that were going to send us to hell, were buried. There are no more. They're not the issue. And we still walk around in this world, and we still sometimes trust in the flesh. But the thing is, as far as when Christ looks at us, you know, when God looks at us, you know how He looks at us? Just as His Son. Just as Christ. He doesn't see it. It's covered. It's buried. Okay, and he says here, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God. The cool thing is it wasn't the operation of Israel. Israel wasn't the light of the world for us to understand salvation. It wasn't from the light of anything else, because we would have blown it. What does Corinthians say? They wouldn't have crucified him if they'd have known. But it was an operation of God. Okay? It says, who hath raised him from the dead? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having what? Forgiven. That means it's all been done. So that means anybody says you need to be forgiven, you're wasting your time as you go through that ordinance. Go to the front. Ask for forgiveness. Hath forgiven you all trespasses. All means everything, right? Look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of what? Ordinances. You can't get away from that. I will tell you, this is where I get kind of tickled. I didn't mean to sound such so long, but I just get tickled at this. You don't know how hard I fought to make it okay to understand Christianity and try to tell people, well, I still understand what you're about. When I was getting the grace and I started understanding, I fought that sucker like crazy to the point that I can almost look back at once I defended it with grace, the baptism, then I said, well, and I quit defending it for myself, but I started defending it for my friends still. And then the next move, I finally realized, well, with that verse, sorry, I can't help you. But I don't know if y'all ever did that, but there were things that I kept trying to hold on to because it was so different. And I'd get mad at Steve, I'd get mad at Hogue, I'd get mad at everybody. It would just irritate the pull out of me, you know, because there were things I would try to hold on to that were important to me. Because it was my upbringing, it was what I knew. And there's no way people could be wrong. Well, it's pretty clear here what Christ did. Now, we can hold on to these ordinances all we want, but you're wasting your time. Because they were blotted out. So, whatever you do, let me tell you what. When you tell Christ you did this, or when He sees you doing this, He thinks you're wasting your time too. And they'll be burnt up. Because why is it? Have you noticed these things are all physical? They're all things that we do. They're burnt up. There's no reward in it at all. Now, I don't suggest you tell somebody that's been baptized and they come tell you they're excited. Don't say, look, it's going to be burnt up. You wasted your time. Love these people. I'm telling you guys, but we got to find a way to be gentle and love these people and tenderhearted. But what a great way to witness when you can say, well, would you turn to Colossians chapter 2:14 and just... would you tell me what that says to you? You don't have to tell them they're wrong. They got to read it. That's what defending the gospel is doing. Not sitting there without a Bible and says, well, I know you got baptized, but the Bible says this. That's like hitting them with a hammer. Just say, hey, take the time. If you get a chance, go to Colossians 2:14. I was baptized too, but I got tickled when I saw this and realized, wow. You don't have to say anything else. They probably won't talk to you the next day. But you know what? You didn't tell them. The Bible said it. The issue is we don't let the Bible speak for itself because we don't know the Bible. Therefore, if we don't know the Bible, we can't defend the Bible. But it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was... what about it? Now, again, all this past tense. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and what did he do with it? He nailed it to the cross. I don't think you can get further past than that. So in those two verses, you have forgiven, having, was, nailing it to his cross. Yeah, it's just, how in the world can we get away from that? But we do it every day. You know why? These churches that say they're a Christian church, or they say that they're a church that isn't a church, and really it's a fraternity or it's a club because you got to join it. You know what I'm saying? You join. You have to do certain things. You have to follow certain ordinances in order to join that church. Christ says, trust in what I did at the cross. So it's hard. I heard Steve say a long time ago, it's harder to become a member for a church than it is for an individual to be saved by Christ. That's so true. You know, so true. But, so therefore, I don't have a bit. Don't walk in here mad at me because I may have a tree up in my house. Yeah, you know, I don't make a big deal about it, but I don't make it about Christ either. It's a pagan holiday. There's nothing wrong with giving presents to your family and telling your family you love them. In fact, why don't you use it as a tool to minister? To show the separation of how wrong they've got it and what we're doing is pagan. But thank God for what Christ really did. You can use all these things and you can do it out of love. You know, I'm probably going to be around at Christmas because that's when all the family's around. You know, but you can use those things out of love. So I'm not saying go out and bash your family and all that stuff, but be truthful. Be truthful. Remember, 2 Timothy 2:15. If you continue to read down, it tells you not to bring strife, but be gentle, tender-hearted, hoping they come to their senses. Because simply the fact is, if they make these things that are Judaism or Judaism or whichever, if they make those important, you know who they're being deceived by? Satan. That's exactly who I was deceived by for many, many years. And you know what's funny? Through that time, I learned a lot still. I learned a lot. Just learned a lot wrong. You know, we need to teach a lot right. But that, as far as holy days, I think it's pretty clear. What about the Holy Spirit? Go to Psalms 51:11. Psalms 51:11. Y'all kept asking me questions on that last one, so I stayed on it for a long time. Y'all quit asking me so many questions. Notice what David says here. I'm just going to use one verse. 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Well, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, if you look at the Old Testament, and I'm not going to touch every verse, but the Holy Spirit would come upon people, and then He'd be taken away. He'd come upon people, and they would do these marvelous acts, these miracles, and these things. At Pentecost, He came upon them, right? He would come upon them, and David, you know, is saying here, don't take Him away. That would be, there was a lot of an emotion. You can get worked up with that, right? Because it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, all over these fraternities, you have a lot of churches that are trying to get caught up and hoping that when they walk in the door, they could feel the Holy Spirit. They could just feel the Spirit. That's what they're taught. They're going all the way back to where these things where the Spirit would come upon and come off and all these works would do, people would speak in tongues. By the way, that really happened. Okay? But today, with the body, what do we say about the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, I don't want to wait for Him. So I love it where we're at today. You know what? Let's go to Ephesians 1:13. And I'm just hoping you see these things as if you visit somewhere else or somebody believes a different thing, it gives you things to ask. Why do you say that? Ask them. Let them talk for a while. And then give them Scripture. You don't even have to argue with them. You can just say, hey, when you get a chance, would you read this? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. Well, I got a feeling when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, I don't see any breaking of His seal. He's plenty powerful enough. When you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're sealed. And that's why today that I can say you can do whatever you want. You can run amok all you want. You'll receive no reward, but you'll still be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because you didn't save yourself. He saved you. after you heard what? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, then you believed and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 through 1 through 4 says, according to the Scriptures, by how you believe, right? Unless you believe what? In vain. Right? That Christ died for your sins, was buried, was dead, buried, and resurrected according to the Scriptures. That's my paraphrase. But verses 1 through 4 is clear. It's the gospel. It's the good news of your salvation. Right? And so you can take them from there to there easily. Right? Go to chapter 4 and look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, there's that word again, unto the day of redemption. So I just think it's very clear that we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We don't have to walk in the room and say, I can feel the Spirit. You know what? As a body of believers, our spirit bears witness with each other. We love each other. We edify each other. We lift each other up. We become of one mind. We understand by rightly dividing the Word. We have more understanding so that others may know. That's the minister of reconciliation, knowing that Christ has saved them, that He has died for them, that He blotted out all those ordinances and all those sins that have fallen. That's why, when we come to church here, it's the issue that we come together as a body of believers to learn, to make sure we're of the same mind. To make sure that when we go out, we are... That's why it's important for you to take what I've said and study on it. To make sure that I'm correct, To make sure that I'm reproved with what I say. That's why it's important to open your Word, bring your Word, to take the time to turn in your Word, so that you don't have to say, well, my preacher says this, or so-and-so says this, or I heard this before. Instead, what happens to the days where we come to a point where we know the Word good enough that we can say, well, it's funny you say that. Hey, when you get the time, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Let the Word preach. The Word's what saves, right? The Word is what saves.